This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour open line talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. To express your viewpoint, please call 804-754-1988. That's 804-754-1988. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
It's been said that everything's coming up roses. Well, that may be true to a certain extent in Pasadena, California, at the Rose Parade and the Rose Bowl. Millions of roses and other flowers and natural growth items are going to grace all of the beautiful, fantastic floats that are going to parade down the parade route 6 miles down Colorado Boulevard through the crown city of the San Gabriel Valley, Pasadena, California. You know, that's the place where they sang that song back in, what was it, the 60s, Little Old Lady from Pasadena. Well, it's not the Little Old Lady from Pasadena anymore. Well, we're going to hear actually from, well, you might say a little old man from Pasadena, but we'll only hear a few words from him here today on Viewpoint as we talk about the Rose Parade. Well, it is not rosy. In fact, if you listen to yesterday's program called Daring God, Just How Dangerous is Deception, we introduced the program yesterday from a news item from Christian News, the Christian News Network, titled Live Same-Sex Wedding to be Part of New Year's Tournament of Roses Parade. Now, I want you to know that I lived for 30 years in Southern California, and more particularly in Pasadena, Altadena, California. They technically are different, but in actuality are the same. I lived actually in Altadena, California for most of those years. Well, I guess for probably 20 of the 30 years. And for the last 18 of those years, made my way down another very well-known boulevard called Lake Avenue, heading down from the slopes of Mount Wilson and those foothills up there, all the way down toward Colorado Boulevard, and took up my seat in my law office looking over the large Lake Avenue Congregational Church, just a stone's throw from Colorado Boulevard, where one of my dearest friends had a printing shop where we would go down and congregate as young people and bring our children and grandchildren, and we would spend all night there on the parade route. It was just an amazing festive event, and, you know, the sleepover in the print shop and everything, as it were coming up roses. Well, not so today, friends, not so today. And I must admit that it came to the point where I wasn't all that excited about staying up all night. So we would make our way home later in the evening to grace our cozy beds and then leave early in the morning for the parade route so that we would be there to take up the spot that had been reserved for us in front of the print shop, because actually, if you were not there overnight and sometimes days in advance, you couldn't even hope of having a spot on the parade route. It is the New Year's Day parade. I tell you, it is a spectacular event. But that spectacular event is deeply colored right now and will be tomorrow unless some major change is made. It will be dangerously and deceptively colored and perhaps denigrated for all time by the event that has been scheduled, much to the chagrin of many of the citizens, not only in Pasadena and Altadena, Southern California, but also around the world. It is the intention and declaration that the Tournament of Roses, the Pasadena Tournament of Roses, will indeed support and bless the performing of a homosexual marriage on one of the floats declaring that it is in fulfillment of the theme of the parade, which is dreams come true. Dreams come true. And then also on this float, it will bear the further motto, love is the best protection, referring to the global AIDS epidemic and encouraging now marriage among practicing homosexual men and lesbian women. In fact, lesbian women will also, can we use the word somewhat loosely, grace this float? A pair of women who have been living together in unholy matrimony for 42 years, well, at least unholy pretense of matrimony, for 42 years will also be making their presence felt, parading down this central boulevard of the crown city of the San Gabriel Valley there in California, Pasadena, California, to declare to the world that we are now liberated people and that we are now no longer constrained by the Bible. We're no longer constrained by these strange, antiquated ideas of marriage and that marriage is between a man and a woman, that God in the beginning created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, as you've been told. And so we have a situation now in which it appears that the foremost institution in the crown city of the San Gabriel Valley, which is a premier location historically in California, in Southern California, is going to put itself in the position of blessing blasphemy. Blessing blasphemy. And that's the title of our program here today, Blessing Blasphemy. Now, what is blasphemy? Before we can talk about blessing blasphemy, we have to first understand a bit about what blasphemy is. And in this day and age, in which almost everything goes, no matter how bizarre, no matter how many, how obtuse, no matter how sacrilegious, no matter how in your face, no matter how antagonistic to the God of creation and so on, we just approve it. We just let it go. But blasphemy, in a more apt and practical way, is basically an open and notorious statement or behavior that defiles and defaces the image of God, the Word of God, and the will of God. And that is the practice of homosexuality and lesbianism and bestiality and polygamy and polymory and any other mori that you can think about. And today we want to talk about what this really is, because you and I are being sucked into it. In fact, the whole world is being sucked into blessing blasphemy tomorrow as the Rose Parade parades down Colorado Boulevard, blasphemy in your face.
Believe it or not, God has a secret. It's a life-changing, destiny-determining secret. It is God's secret because the Bible says it is. Yet, God wants to disclose his secret to all who will seek it. Discovering this secret unlocks all of God's blessings and promises, both on earth and for eternity. Unfortunately, this secret has been nearly lost over the past two generations, even in our churches. Yet, recovering it is America's only hope. That is why Chuck Chrismeyer's new book, The Secret of the Lord, is critical for this unique moment of history. A prominent pastor calls The Secret of the Lord compelling, a must-read for every Christian who loves America. Get your copy of The Secret of the Lord today. Just $20 for this hard-bound, hope-giving book. Call 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA. Or order online. Saveus.org. That's saveus.org. So important is God's secret that it is God's final message to our planet. Get your copy today.
2 days ago, the Los Angeles Times came out with an article titled Gay Couple to Marry on Rose Parade Float. For those who happen to read the liberal Los Angeles Times or happen to pick up on the theme that began to echo throughout the blogosphere and throughout the entire digital world, this came as quite a shock. For some, it came as, what should we say, a glorious shock that such a thing could happen so publicly, so openly, so notoriously, yes, even so blasphemously before the world. Others, looking upon it, didn't think it was glorious at all. They thought it was God denying, God defacing, God blaspheming, or blasphemy against God. And so the whole world now is faced with decisions. You and I are faced with the decisions whether or not you like to watch the Rose Parade or not. That really isn't the issue, because this is an issue. This is an event that is bigger than you. It's bigger than me. It's bigger than Pasadena, California. It's bigger than all of the bands that are going to be playing there, including the Salvation Army Band. It's bigger than all of the celebrities that will be on those various floats. It's bigger than those public announcers and famous people that are going to be announcing on various television programs. It's bigger than all of them. It's bigger than any individual. It's bigger than the Tournament of Roses. This, my friends, is an in-your-face, outrageous demonstration of that which is a harbinger to come in 2014 and following. This is a statement that is setting the stage and setting the tone for things that are going to happen in our world, which includes your world, which includes your workplace, which includes your economy, which includes your pocketbook, which includes your church, which includes the freedom to speak or to preach. What is happening tomorrow, absent a dramatic change of heart and policy, will be a harbinger for some extremely unholy things to come. The question came to these two homosexual men who had been together for 12 years, do you want to get married on a Rose Parade float? On New Year's Day, the Los Angeles couple will become real-life wedding cake toppers when they say, I do, on a cake-shaped float in the 125th Tournament of Roses Parade. The AIDS Healthcare Foundation float, called Living the Dream, Love is the Best Protection, was created to celebrate gay marriage advocates, including Supreme Court decisions upholding the repeal of California's Proposition 8 and striking down a key part of the Defense of Marriage Act. Notice, the California Supreme Court, known for its hyper-liberality as a lawmaking court rather than a law-enforcing court, has struck down the will of the people of California, twice expressed through propositions, denying the right to homosexual marriage, and also struck down a key part of the Defense of Marriage Act passed by the United States Congress, under, by the way, William Jefferson Clinton as president. And so what we're looking at here is a celebration of lawlessness and defying of the moral will of the people, not only of the state of California, but also of the entire nation. The state of California's economy is about one-sixth, I believe, of the whole country. And, maybe I'm getting my figures wrong. It is so great. Let's put it this way. The California economy is so great that if you put all the nations together and include it as a nation, as I recall, it would be number six in terms of economy. That's how big and how powerful California is, even with all of its financial troubles. So this is a statement that will echo across the United States, to Israel, to Africa, to Australia, New Zealand, to Canada. It will echo across the United States that America's foremost institutions, its most public institutions that have heretofore been known for celebrating the family and everything that was good about America, now will be known for not only celebrating those things, but celebrating the very antithesis. That is, when God says he calls the practice of homosexuality and lesbianism an abomination, it's the celebration of abomination. That, my friend, is in your face blasphemy. They say that the motivation for this, they want to sanction same-sex marriage because it encourages more stable relationships among gay men, as well as behavior that will prevent the spread of HIV. So the end justifies the means, you see. The passage and interment of Roses have received complaints from people opposing the wedding. Some look to the organization's Facebook to voice their anger. One, a 79-year-old Los Angeles native, said, "I have not missed a parade since I was about 4 years old. I've watched my last one due to your decision to allow this unbiblical gay marriage to take place on one of your floats." Others expressed concern about the event not being suitable for families that may tune in to watch the annual New Year's Day celebration that's watched by people, untold millions, by estimate, over 60 million people around the world. "Two gay men in a wedding ceremony is highly offensive to me and millions of Americans," wrote another. "I can't think of many things less appropriate for families and especially children." A separate Facebook page had been started called Boycott the 2014 Rose Parade. As of Sunday, it had 1,600 likes. May not sound like a lot, but the news had just barely come out. The post read, "Gay marriage is still illegal in over 30 states. Why would the Tournament of Roses promote something like that?" In a statement released to the Los Angeles Times, though, the Pasadena Tournament of Roses said that it is pleased to have the foundation participate in this year's event. Like all of our sponsors and flute designers, the foundation continued to help make the Rose Parade a premier event through original and creative expressions that connect to parade themes, as this float does. The head of the foundation said he thinks the wedding is the perfect way to honor the parade's theme of dreams come true by showing the dream of lesbians and gay men realized. Mr. LeClaire and Lutz, the men who are going to be married, using the term loosely, have been together for 10 years, or 12, is it? Mr. LeClaire said, "It was love at first sight," or is it Mrs. LeClaire? I'm not sure. The wedding float will also include a lesbian couple, Sharon Raphael and Mina Meyer, who have been together for 42 years and legally married somewhere for five. The foundation's float is going to be one of the last in the parade. It's going to, the so-called wedding will take place about 9:30 a.m. California time, that's Pacific time. Mr. LeClaire said, "This is monumental. That image of a same-sex couple marrying on such a big scale just goes to show what strides the homosexual community has made." Monumental. Indeed it is. It's monumental blasphemy, my dear friend, and to the extent that you and I accede to this kind of behavior, either through open support or through silence. One has to really wonder if we are not supporting sacrilege through what I might call sanguine silence. Supporting sacrilege through sanguine silence. You know, it has been said that silence is consent. Have you ever heard that phrase, silence is consent? We've got a whole lot of silence out there in the Christian world. I'm just wondering how many pastors in Pasadena, California, or in all of Southern California, I just wonder how many pastors have stood up and said, we cannot support this, and we cannot encourage our congregations to support this. This is blasphemy, and we cannot and will not support this in our community. If you're in Pasadena, California, or Altadena, California, or if you are in Arcadia, California, or San Gabriel, or San Marino, or so we say La Cañada, Glendale, any of those areas around there, South Pasadena. By the way, these are most of those areas I have walked on foot 1,000 miles. Campaigning in 1976 and 1978 for the California State Legislature. I know that territory like the back of my hand. But I wonder how many pastors, I just wonder how many pastors have spoken, not in a mean-spirited kind of a way. I'm not speaking in a mean-spirited way right now, although some who are in favor of homosexual relationships and so on may think so. No, this is a matter of moral outrage, friends. This is a matter of spiritual conviction. This is not a matter of being angry at individuals. My anger is not directed at Aubrey Lutz and Danny LeClaire, who want to stand up and make fools of themselves before God and blaspheme his name tomorrow on a Rose Parade float. While the president and his wife celebrate from Hawaii, just as Michelle Obama celebrated the coming out party for the self-announced lesbian on Good Morning America, saying, "We're proud of you." Do you understand what's going on here, friends? Do you understand how far things have gone? We're no longer at the place where these are just culture war issues. This is not a culture war issue. You can call it that if you want. This is not a culture war issue. This is an issue of whether or not created beings are going to agree with their creator on the creator's purposes, ways, will, and intentions for his creation. That's what it's really about. Obviously, to the extent that you don't believe in a creator, all of this is meaningless to you because you're a mere animal, and animals can do whatever they jolly well please. There's no blasphemy there. You do understand that if you believe in evolution, you're a mere animal. You understand that, don't you? Because you weren't created. You're merely an advanced animal. And others will come after you more advanced, according to their theories. This is an issue. This is a ultimate issue for our country, not just for Pasadena, California. They're merely standing in the gap for the rest of the country in blasphemy. What would be your stance? We'll be back. You know, it's a delight to be able to come before you day after day to talk about the things that matter most. This particular issue we're talking about today is not a delightful issue, but it is a privilege to be able to talk with you about it. Do you know what God said to the prophet Isaiah? He said, "Lift up your voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgressions." Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Now, a trumpet is not known for its quiet sound, is it? It's known for its piercing sound. Likewise, a shofar. They're both known for their piercing sound, and that's why they're used to announce royalty, but they're also used to warn of an invader, to warn of an enemy that's coming. And today, I'm lifting up my voice like a trumpet to warn my countrymen, to warn you, to warn pastors, to warn the city that I invested so much of my life and time and practiced law in for 20 years, Pasadena, California, the Pasadena Superior Court, and all of the Los Angeles Superior Courts, all nine of them. My life is heavily invested in memory and relationship in Pasadena, California. But I tell you, my dear friends, that city is becoming a symbol not only for the evangelical move of God going back into the 1970s, but now for the blasphemous move of God haters in our whole country. To co-opt a parade that heretofore has been known as one of the most upstanding, encouraging, bright, hope-filled, even righteous events of cultural celebration in our country, and to co-opt it for a blasphemous purpose such as this is beyond the pale. And your agreement to keep silent is support. Your silence is consent. You say, well, what do you mean by that? I don't agree with that. Really, how long would you keep silent in the face of encroaching unrighteousness and blasphemy? How long would you keep silent? The Apostle Paul, as we discussed yesterday in Romans chapter 1, talks about the wrath of God revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it to them. They're not ignorant. He said they're without excuse, because the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhood. When they knew God, they refused to glorify him as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, that is, their reasonings and thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they have become fools. They changed the glory of God, the uncorruptible God, into the image like to corruptible man. Wherefore God gives them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, changing the truth of God into a lie, and worshiping and serving the creature more than the Creator. For this cause, are you listening, my friend? Are you listening? For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the use into that which is against nature. That's what Michelle Obama was celebrating through her tweet yesterday. The coming out party, so to speak, of one of the hosts of Good Morning America. That wasn't a good morning for America, by the way. But Americans celebrated, as did the president, the wife of the president of the United States. She said, "We, including her husband, are so proud of you." Friends, this is what William Jefferson Clinton said. This is what he foretold in 1997. I will never forget this. He went to Southern California, and for the first time ever in American history, a sitting president knowingly, intelligently, and notoriously directed an openly homosexual audience. And here is what William Jefferson Clinton said. Are you ready for this? He said, "We are, in practical ways, changing the immutable ideals that have guided us from the beginning." Now, let me translate that for you. The word immutable is a word that is not part of our normal conversation. It's a word that is usually used in theological ways to describe the unchangeableness of God. He is immutable, unchangeable. So let's go back and rephrase what William Jefferson Clinton really said. He said, "We are, in practical ways," in other words, on the ground where the rubber meets the road, not just theoretically, but in practical ways, "we are changing the unchangeable ideals that have guided us from the beginning." Notice he admitted that the Bible and its principles, its moral precepts and principles, had guided us from the beginning. But he said, "We're changing all that." Now, this was the greatest, most blasphemous, openly blasphemous statement ever made, I think, by a sitting president. Until, that is, Barack Obama. But Bill Clinton paved the way. He said, "This is what we're about." And by the way, that is what the Democratic Party has been about ever since. Have you noticed? Have you noticed that? Don't deny it. That doesn't mean there aren't Republicans that stand for this the same blasphemous ideas. But the Democratic Party, almost to a man virtually, supports this blasphemous position, changing the immutable ideals that have guided us from the beginning, including that God made man in his image, male and female created he them to function as male and female, performing the first marriage and declaring that for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife, not cleave to his fellow brother. This was the second creation ordinance, marriage. The first creation ordinance was the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. The second creation ordinance was the creation of man in God's image and then marriage. And look what we have done. Now, here is what the Apostle Paul says. God gave them, because of their reprobate mind, because of their rebellion, refusing to honor him as their creator, he gives us over to a reprobate mind, which leads to vile affections, the practice of homosexuality, lesbianism, bestiality, all these things. Women burning their lusts one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which is appropriate. Like AIDS. Have you ever heard of AIDS, my friends? So God gives them over to a reprobate mind, being filled with all unrighteousness and fornication and wickedness. without natural affection. And then listen to this in verse 32 of chapter 1 of the book of Romans. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but, and here is the big but, my friends, but have pleasure or approve them that do them. And there, my friend, is where the Pasadena Tournament of Roses, those who are leading it, the mayor of Pasadena, all of those in Pasadena that are clapping their hands in approval of this, the pastors and priests in Pasadena that are behind the scenes giving approval to this, the various peoples, not only in Pasadena, but throughout Southern California, throughout all California, and throughout the United States, or wherever they are in the world that are applauding this, become complicit from God's viewpoint in blessing blasphemy. They are supporting sacrilege through sanguine silence. In other words, just even if they're not coming out and openly and actively and publicly blessing it, they're just being silent and therefore registering their tacit approval. Does God have a few good men and women out there anywhere today? It's not a matter of parading through the street with placards, as some might be prone to do. That's not what it's about. That's not what God calls us to do. To raise a ruckus in the streets. And that's not what I'm calling for. What we're talking about here is matters of the heart, friends. We supposedly live in a free country where we are free to express righteousness. And the Bible says that righteousness alone exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Righteousness alone exalts a nation. Do you understand the significance of that? Abraham Lincoln quoted that from the Bible. Righteousness alone exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Friends, what is about to happen in Pasadena, California tomorrow morning is a reproach to the people of the United States. It is a reproach to the entire nation. And because of the standing of our nation in the world, it is a reproach to the entire world. It is a worldwide thumbing of our collective noses against the God of history. We'll be back.
When Jesus described the times leading to his return, he warned that pestilence would ravage the earth. And we're now in those times, and medical experts are warning of plagues, viruses, and life-threatening conditions for which antibiotics are either losing effectiveness or have no effect. MRSA is one of those even ravaging our hospitals. So what can we do? Amazingly, a new technology called Silver Sol has recently been discovered, and this technology is so good and so effective in responding to these conditions that it's even been patented. And it comes in both liquid and gel form. For the safety of your family, I want to urge you to look at Silver Sol. Go to our website now, saveus.org, and get more information. Then order yours today. That's saveus.org or call 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA. Do it today. Don't delay.
It's Dialogue That Demands Decision. Today we're talking about the concept of blessing blasphemy arising out of the intention of the Pasadena Tournament of Roses in Pasadena, California, to parade a pair of homosexual men before the country and the world on top of a float on a wedding cake to kiss and celebrate their homosexual marriage together before the world. It is an act of blessing blasphemy, and for those who will be supporting it or clapping their hands along the way or tacitly supporting it in their congregations or through letters to the editor in the Pasadena Star News or anywhere else for that matter, they are supporting the sacrilege through either their sanguine silence or through their open and notorious approval, and therefore are held to the same account by God as if they were sitting on top of that float being married to a lesbian or a homosexual themselves. Now, this is not what we're doing here. My approach on this is not to be unloving toward these people. In fact, the most loving thing that we can do under circumstances like this is to stand for righteousness, try to keep our own attitudes right and pure toward the individuals that are involved. But friends, this isn't just a matter of individuals. This isn't just a matter of their feelings. This is a matter of truth. It's a matter of agreeing with the Creator concerning our lives here on this planet. And as we said yesterday, it is a dangerous thing to dare God. And that's exactly what's happening here. Now, I received an email from one of our regular listeners who promises me almost every time he writes that he is a dyed-in-the-wool atheist. And so he writes this email, "If God won't be mocked, how will we know?" So I want to read a portion of his email to you, and I'll read my response, and then you can, massage this in your own mind and heart. He says, "You righteously claim that your Bible God will not be mocked. Okay, to prove that, what is your Bible God going to do, and to whom specifically is he going to do it? And what is the time limit beyond which, if he hasn't acted, we can reasonably conclude that he has changed his mind? Or will this be another Bible God curse to hang over the entire world forever?" He goes on to say, "True science makes predictions against which actual results can be weighed and evaluated. What does your Bible God offer in the way of concreteness and specificity, a predicted outcome to prove he will not be mocked in the case of the Rose Parade? If he or you have nothing to offer in this regard, which I'm fairly sure is the case, then why bother shouting wolf? Why even bring it up? Why make an unsupported claim that, in fact, cannot be evaluated or tested the way it is has been posed? All it does is simply make your religion, your program, and yes, you, look all the more ridiculous. How far will the curse of the offended Bible God extend if these queers are married while the parade is en route? Will there be any limit to the righteous insanity with which the Bible God will prove that he will not be mocked? Will the curse be limited to just the parade officials, or will it include any or all of the following as well, like parade fellow paraders, families of officials and fellow paraders, segment of the population that voted for the parade officials, all segments of the local society that enabled the parade to take place, and so on?" And so you see the general spirit of this this email. Now, I'm going to read to you my response, and then we'll move forward. My response is, God is not limited to your finite conception of him. Neither is he confined to act, to effect his justice when his mercy is spurned. And then I address the gentleman, "Your God is too small. Supposing he is but an extraordinary man rather than God. God, as creator, affected the laws that scientists have discovered. They're the laws that he has put in place. He's neither bound by man's various and ever-changing ideas or theories, nor what others may wish to superimpose upon his will or intents so as to validate their idea of what expectations should be. He is God. Now, here's the problem. You see, God doesn't function in time the way we do. For instance, when he told Israel through Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 28 that if they did not obey his voice, that all these terrible curses were going to come upon Israel. Now, if you go back and you read from verse 15 through verse 68 or whatever it is in Deuteronomy 28, you will find that exactly what God said would happen did happen. But it didn't happen immediately. God, in his mercy, sent forth judges and then prophets to woo, to warn, to try to bring correction to Israel, just as a parent would a child. But when they would not be corrected, when they would resist continually his loving efforts to bring them back, then he lowered the boom. And over time, they increasingly rejected his open arms and love toward them, so that finally he allowed the Assyrians to come in 700 B.C. or so, to take the 10 northern tribes captive, and they were dispersed either to Assyria or throughout the world, and have been to this very day. Did God keep his word? Well, yeah, he did keep his word, but ultimately the heavy hand, the ultimate curse of that word for those 10 northern tribes did not finally take place until about 700 or 800 years after God had made the warning through Moses. And the same was true for Judah and Benjamin. 135 years later, in spite of the warnings of the prophets, Judah and Benjamin, the two southern tribes, rebelled also against the Lord. And so God allowed them to be taken captive by Babylon, and they were taken for a goodly amount of time, 70 years, and then God in his mercy and to keep his covenant to Abraham and David allowed some of them, a remnant, to be brought back. And they rebuilt the temple. And then there were 400 years of virtual silence, prophetic silence, until Jesus came. He preached for 3.5 years. John the Baptist gave about 6 months of warning to prepare the way of the Lord, because God is a God of due process and he will not bring judgment unless and until the people have been duly warned. Jesus, the week before his crucifixion, told his disciples that all those glorious stones of Jerusalem and the temple were going to be destroyed and there wouldn't be one stone left upon another. But it was 40 years later when that was fulfilled, as the Roman general Titus came in and wiped Jerusalem clean like a plate. You see, we just don't make the connections, and that's one of the problems that we have in this country. We have not seen the judgment that God has been progressively bringing upon this country for at least 20 years, my friends, through weather, through economic disasters, through attack from foreign elements that never before had happened on these shores. It's been progressive. God will not be mocked. And yet we continue to mock him. Don't we? Including the writer of this email. God's patience, just like the patience of a father, will not continue forever. God said, my spirit will not always strive with man. That's when he brought destruction to the planet through a worldwide flood and save Noah and his family. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be just before the second coming of Jesus Christ. He also said, just as it was in the days of Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah, so it will be just before the second coming of Jesus Christ. And I tell you, when an institution that otherwise seemed to have been so pure and relatively pure and clean and so on as the Tournament of Roses and the Rose Parade in Southern California for 125 years has now reduced itself to blessing blasphemy, we are in the last days, my friends, the last days. Now, let's take this just a little bit further to show you that the repercussions of this affect many people. How about the 96th Rose Queen and seven young ladies that are the Tournament of Roses royal court? Now they are put in a position as the royal court of blessing this behavior. Now they're put in a position, if they don't speak up, they also are approving this behavior tacitly and blessing blasphemy. But that's not all. How about all the bands that are going to be parading in the parade? How about all the other floats and the businesses and ministries and so on that are going to be participating in this parade? Now, they also are being put in a position by the mere participation in this parade without remonstrance. They are put in the position of tacitly blessing blasphemy, including the Salvation Army. Now, my father and my mother were in the Salvation Army when they met. My father was raised in the Salvation Army. His parents were both Salvation Army officers, and my wife's father was a Salvation Army officer. Their families were both raised in the Salvation Army. My father was holding an evangelistic crusade in the Salvation Army Corps. I believe it was in Detroit, Michigan. My mother was playing the piano. Their eyes met, and the rest is history. I know a bit about the Salvation Army. I also know that the Salvation Army are instrument lovers. They love bands. My father played the trumpet. I love to hear him play the trumpet in church. But you know what? The Salvation Army band is the longest playing band, the longest marching band in the Pasadena Tournament of Roses parade there. They've been there longer than any other band. I mean, it's been a long time. Nearly a century. Now, here's what the leader, the band director of the Salvation Army band, said. Maybe the arrangements have changed a little bit over these nearly a century, but for sure, our message has stayed the same. When we play Stand Up for Jesus in front of millions of people, it's a way to proclaim good news. But here's my question. When you play Stand Up for Jesus, marching down the Rose Parade, and you're leading the parade to announce a homosexual marriage for the first time in American history to be paraded before the world, are you standing up for Jesus, or are you standing up for the culture, the secular culture, the godless culture? Are you, in fact, blessing blasphemy? Thanks for joining us. Please become a partner. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia 23255. God will not be mocked.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.